Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This year, hundreds of thousands of Americans will travel abroad. They're not going to see ancient ruins or visit some historic sites. They're going to undergo medical procedures. They're being called medical tourists. Hundreds of thousands of, as I said, perhaps half a billion will fly to Brazil, Costa Rica, India, Mexico, and other countries for everything from root canals to hip replacements. Of course, this is hardly a new phenomenon. It's been growing, though, in recent years. And in fact, one trade group estimates 5 million patients traveled for medical reasons last year, spending about $3,000 on each surgery. Paul Vihorn is one of them, a behavioral psychologist, host of the Paul Vihorn radio show. And Paul, you actually visited Thailand for two different procedures, I understand. Why did you make that decision?
Yes, I did. Celeste, the decision was based on several things, one of which was I have had a number of people that I'm aware of that have lived in Thailand or do live in Thailand, expats, and I was told about it. So I went to Bumrungrad International, which is the hospital in Thailand that is internationally accredited. You may have seen it on 60 Minutes. They did a feature on it, and it was quite effective.
May I ask, are you fully insured here in the U.S.?
Yes.
And yet it was more cost-effective to go to Thailand?
Yes, I can give you an example. I had my dentist here in the Tampa Bay area do a porcelain overlay on the upper teeth, and I had a bill of $9,000 on that. I went to Thailand and had the same procedure, which would cost the same on the bottom. It was about $3,300. And by the way, my dentist, who is Dr. Pravej in Bumrungrad Hospital, and that took place at the hospital, is a graduate of UCLA.
Paul Vihorn, behavioral psychologist, host of the Paul Vihorn radio show, and a medical tourist as well. Also joining us, James Surowiecki, staff writer with The New Yorker. And James, this is growing for what reason? Is it because, as Paul says, it's just simply cheaper to go overseas?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's the fact that healthcare costs, and I mean, dentistry is a quintessential example of it. But it, you know, obviously is true across the board. Healthcare costs have obviously been rising very sharply, and so the gap between you know what you have to pay here and what you can pay abroad is actually widening. But I think the second part of it, which is just as important, actually probably more important, is that the quality of medical care abroad has obviously been improving dramatically. And as Paul talks about, I mean, Bumrungrad is sort of the quintessential example of this. And that what's also happening is that as this market begins to get bigger, and it's still, you know, Paul is obviously still very much a pioneer in terms of what he's doing, but as that market is getting bigger, the hospitals abroad are very much kind of beginning to cater to medical tourists. So if you actually go to the Bumrungrad website, which I recommend, you'll see they actually have it set up so that, you know, they have a link to hotels, and, you know, they actually will create a whole, in a way, allow you to create a kind of package so you can go there and set up your visit, because obviously in most cases you'll be staying for a few days. But I think it's that combination of rising costs and also rising quality abroad that's really driving this trend.
Do we really know how many people are doing this?
No, we don't. And I think that, I mean, we don't know exactly how many. I think in the U.S. we know it's somewhere, you know, around a few hundred thousand, maybe 500,000. There have been a lot of, there's a lot of hype in these numbers. In the middle of the decade, of the past decade, there was a big study that was done by Deloitte, a consultancy firm, which suggested that by 2012, where we are now, that the numbers would be in the many millions of Americans doing it. And a couple of things happen. I think the financial crash kind of put a dent in some of this. People obviously both lost money, but also were kind of raised the level of insecurity. And I think the second thing is it's something that's really a process, because I think as more people like Paul do this, more people hear about it and start to think it'll be a reasonable thing to do. But I think at the moment it still is something that sounds maybe interesting, but people are still a little wary of doing.
Paul, you're probably telling a lot of people that this is safe to do.
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, James is correct. There are fewer people now because of that downturn. However, I see that it's picking up. A vice president of Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina named David Boucher has gone there and had work done as a test. Now, apparently, the South Carolina Blue Cross Blue Shield is offering people the opportunity to go there, giving them discounts, et cetera. Now, this is very, very valuable for the insurance industry, and many of them are going back into this and doing this at some high level. The reason for it, of course, for them is cost, and they will allow you to take a loved one with you and do the whole process. They recommend you stay about a month, though, because some of these procedures, you have to go there and then go back for checkups.
We're speaking with Paul Vihorn, a behavioral psychologist who actually visited Thailand for a couple procedures, which I understand they were dental procedures. I wonder if your decision would change if it wasn't a cost savings or if it was something that required a longer recuperation time, a heart surgery.
I would probably go at this time because of my experience there. It was first class, and I do mean first class. It was incredible. There's a 10-minute time frame between the time you call a nurse and the time she arrives at your room, and most of the time it's within 5 minutes. So the quality was exceptional. If I hadn't been there and known about the quality, I probably would stay here, except for the cost. Many times you'll find your deductibles, maybe as high as 20% on a $100,000 procedure. That trip is well worth it because you're making a savings even on the 20.
That's Paul Vihorn here, and James Surowiecki is a staff writer with The New Yorker who's been writing especially about the economic implications of this. And I wonder, James, this must be worrying to hospitals if some of the higher-income people are able to go out overseas to get these procedures done. That leaves the hospitals here in the United States with those who perhaps are less able to pay. Is that a problem for the economics of medicine?
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, I actually think at the moment it's a little complicated to figure out who exactly is going abroad, because in a lot of cases it's actually people maybe who don't have insurance or who are self-employed and who aren't necessarily, most high-income people are reasonably well insured, or actually very well insured. But I do think that the idea is that this will put some pressure, perhaps down the road, on hospitals and doctors. As I sort of talk about in my piece this week in The New Yorker, the medical sector has been one of the sectors that's really been insulated from foreign competition. Manufacturing workers are well used at this point to having to compete against foreign workers and foreign companies. And for doctors and hospitals, that's a really unusual thing to think about. And I think the hope is that if you have to compete with Bumrungrad or SEMA, which is a hospital in Costa Rica that has a very good reputation, that it might actually compel hospitals here to become a little more efficient and to compete better on that level. I think that, while that will be tricky for hospitals and doctors, I think for the United States, in terms of the magnitude of our health care bill, it would actually be a good thing. I mean, free trade in general is very good for consumers, and I think it would be a good thing for American consumers if we had more of this.
And it appears that some of the larger institutions like Johns Hopkins and Harvard are actually partnering with the facilities overseas and joining into the medical tourism game.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think one of the more interesting things is that you are seeing a kind of recognition that this is important. And I do think also that, even the AMA, interestingly, the American Medical Association has been, surprisingly, let's say not say welcoming, but more accepting of this than you might expect. But I think that globalization is a reality. And I think that global institutions in the United States, like Harvard, like Johns Hopkins, recognize this. And as Paul said, the truth is a lot of the doctors in these institutions abroad have in fact been trained at U.S. hospitals. So in that respect, you're not actually getting a radically different experience if you go abroad.
James Surowiecki, staff writer with The New Yorker. Paul Vihorn, behavioral psychologist and a medical tourist himself. You say you would do this again. Do you have any reservations about recommending this to your children, your relatives, your friends?
Absolutely none at all, with one caveat, and that is I would go to Bumrungrad Hospital because it's internationally accredited, because of the experience I've had there. And I think the backup was the 60-minute review of that hospital.
Were your doctors?
So, yeah, the answer is yes.
Were your doctors educated here in the U.S., as James suggested?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Dr. Nand, who does a very incredible man, I'm doing a charity work for him, he's the professor of plastic surgery. He does pro bono work for children who have been disfigured by birth and in the facial area. And yeah, I think I would. He was doing his internship, I think, at Tampa General in the United States. And, of course, they're highly qualified. You can see a list of them on their website. This is not a promo for that hospital, but you asked the question.
If it were a promo, it'd be a pretty good one there. Paul V. Horn, behavioral psychologist, host of the Paul V. Horn Radio Show, and medical tourist. James Surowiecki, staff writer for The New Yorker. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
And we forgot to find out that the Thai food is really good at that hospital. I bet it's terrific.
That's true. Yeah, but if you're getting dental surgery.
That's true. Well, hospital food is terrible in the United States. That's for sure. You can respond to that conversation. If you're a doctor considering this option, being trained in the United States, we'd love to hear from you at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Or do you have any stories of you or a relative having gone abroad for a medical procedure? Just to call us. Throughout the show, we've been discussing the latest in the Trayvon Martin story. What is the conversation you're having at home or in the office about this case now that George Zimmerman has been arrested and charged with second-degree murder? Give us your view at 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.